foundation of the world, before we were created, Lord, you knew about us. You knew that we'd be gathering today, Lord, and we thank you that you see everything. Lord, you know the good times, the bad times, and you see us this morning. Lord, we pray that as we look into your word, Father, that I would get out of your way, that you would speak to me and through me, and that you would use this time to advance your kingdom. Lord, help us to leave this place changed from how we came in. Lord, inspire us, encourage us, strengthen us for what you'd have for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Is the classic question today, is it cold enough for you? How many of you guys are from the north? Not many. All right, so this is cold. Oh, phew. Oh, so this is cold for most of us. Well, it's kind of nice when it's a cold day like today, because it reminds me at least how blessed I am to live in South Florida. You know, a lot of places, it's cold way longer than it is here. You know, they're bundled up, they stay inside, they don't go outside. It's actually darker, a lot longer than it is up north. You know, up north, around this time of year, it's dark at like 4:30, which is like insane. And we just have it so blessed here. So a little cold weather is not too bad. I feel it more than most people because I'm way less insulated than some. I have no hair on my head. And I don't know if you know this, Abe, that's a big difference. You know, I feel like days like nights like tonight, I have to wear like a little cap to bed or something like that, just because it's like, it's cold. But hang in there. It will get warmer. We're going to continue today on our series that is Rules from the Red Sea into 2023. We've got enough rules to take us through the month. So hang in there. I'm going to do a little review each week. Last week, my wife was here. We traveled directly up to Orlando from Sunday morning. We had some things we had to be up to up there. And so I asked my wife, how'd it go? I usually, ask that question. She's pretty honest with me. And she says, it went well, she says, but it was a lot of stuff. And I'm going, yeah, it probably was a lot of stuff. So what I'm going to do is each week I'm going to do a little review about what I spoke about last week and kind of continue on this week talking about the Red Sea rules. And the verse that we use, we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And it says, what has been will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, see, this is new? It has already been, and the ages before us. Everything has already happened, and there's nothing really new. Now technology is new, but most things that happen are not new, are not uncommon. And one of the things, can anyone remember what our first rule was from last week? Anybody? I know, if you remember, you can kind of shout it out. Anybody remember? All right, very good. Okay, good. All right. Now, it's good news and bad news that you answered that. If you didn't answer that, if nobody answered that, I just preached last week's sermon again because nobody remembered. But thank you. In this world, you will have trouble. Now, yes, you will have many blessings. We will have many blessings in 2023. But one thing can be guaranteed, that you will have trouble. Jesus said this. He says, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You will have trouble. I believe Nightingale is listening somewhere out there. She usually comments on most of my sermons. And last Monday night, she had trouble. TCU got demolished by Georgia for the national championship game. And I'm sure she was depressed for days. Nightingale, hopefully you've recovered from that, and we'll see you today. But we will have trouble. I spoke that out last week, and Monday there were some things that my family went through that echoed this, that we will have trouble. We will have trouble. We see this throughout the scriptures. We see many people who have had trouble throughout the beginning of time. We see Abraham had trouble, Moses had trouble, Noah had trouble, and we listed quite a few others that had trouble. So there's nothing new under the sun. You will have trouble. Sometimes we cry out to God and say, woe is me, woe is me. I do not know when all these things are happening to us, but understand you will have trouble. Now, that's to be a little bit of encouragement. You may think that's a discouragement, but that's to be an encouragement, letting you know that you will have trouble. And we'll talk about how it's an encouragement a little bit. We looked at the Psalms about how even the psalmist cried out and was listening to God, and even at the in crying out and looking to hear from God, and he felt that God had abandoned him. In verse 4 from last week, it says, you hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Those restless nights where we're so troubled, we can't even sleep at night. Those things that are in our heads, we will have trouble. Well, a couple things we talked about last week is the Red Sea, how we got there. We'll skip over that a little bit. But rule number one, you will have trouble. Rule number two, God knows where we are. God knows where you are in that trouble. Praise God. God does not abandon us. God knows exactly where we are. We looked at Exodus chapter 3. And where God called Moses, he was out tending sheep, 40 years worth of tending sheep. He's about 80 years old. Probably figured that was it, locked into life. And God basically said to Moses, I have seen the affliction of my people. I have seen it. Now, I'm sure the people who had been in bondage for many, many, many years and even forgot what freedom looked like, were slaves. They cried out to God and probably was like, God, where are you? There must be no God. But God said to Moses, I have heard and seen the affliction of my people, and I'm going to use you to deliver them. God knows where you are. In the deepest, most difficult time in your life, God knows where you are. And that's a praise. We can praise the Lord that the one who created everything, the uncreated creator, doesn't just sit up afar and set the world in place, spinning around and just kind of goes on a vacation, but he's right there. He sees us in everything. You know, a lot of other religions believe that God is way out there. There is, and even in today's world, in a secular society, we hear there is no God. What a discouragement to believe that there is no God, that everything you go through, nobody's helping you. Nobody can oversee it. You're on your own to fend for yourself. But we know that God is with us. That was point number two. Point number three, it's more about God's glory than our own relief. It's more about God's glory than our own relief. Now, God cares about us, and God will relieve us, and we'll look into that in just a little bit, but it's more about God's glory, God's glory. In that rule number three in Exodus 14, 3 and 4, it says, and I will pursue them, and he will pursue them, and I will get the glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. That I am the Lord. We see a very similar passage when Elijah called down fire from heaven so that the people would see that I am the Lord, that God is the Lord. There is one God, and that is the Lord. And so we can be encouraged that even though we go through difficult times, God knows where we are, and it's more about his glory. You know, in our world today, we're so focused on I, me, my. It's all about me. Everything is about me. What is going on with me? And God says, yes, I see you, but there's a bigger picture here. It's not about you. It's about me, God says. And if we can understand that, you know, if it were just about me, I'd be pretty discouraged. I mean, like, this is it? This is it? It's all about me and this is it? You know, the world tells us that we are our own gods. We're not accountable to anybody. We don't have anybody like that. But the Bible says that God is God and everything is about giving God glory. You know, it says at the end, basically, it says in Philippians chapter 4, it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That glory, it's all about giving God glory in our lives. So understand this, that even though God sees us, and I mentioned last week that we're like a piece of a puzzle. But it's a magnificent puzzle. And sometimes we're so caught up in what our little piece looks like and the trouble in our piece that we miss out on the big picture. God has a big picture and we're part of the big picture. So, number one, we're all going to have trouble. Number two, God knows right where you are in that trouble. Number three, it's not about you necessarily. It's about God getting the glory. And number four, we talked about last week, keep your eyes on the Lord, not on your circumstances. Keep your eyes on the Lord and not on your circumstances. In chapter 14, verse 10, we looked at last week, it says, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. Now, understand this, that the children of Israel had been in captivity for many years. They were taught how to think, how to act, and everything. They were a beaten down people. And so they're fleeing. And they're not even sure if they should flee. They're like, we're fleeing, but all I remember is my life in Egypt. And so they see Pharaoh, the guy who has been beating them down for years and years and years. And he sees this vast army, hundreds of chariots and men chasing after them. And they're outside there. And the people looked up and they saw them and they feared greatly. They feared. And you know what? They looked at that point on their circumstances. They looked on their circumstances, what was going on around them, and they feared greatly. Keep your eyes on the Lord and not on your circumstances. You know, if I kept my life, my eyes on my circumstances, I'd be up and down. Moment to moment, day to day, because the circumstances are good, circumstances are bad. Good news and bad news. How many guys like to hear the good news first? And how many like to hear the bad news first? Right? When somebody says, I have good news and bad news. How many of you guys are good news people? How many of you guys are bad news people? I think I'm in the bad news. You know, tell me the bad news because then I can at least kind of like. Because if somebody says good news and bad news, when you say tell me the good news, you're like, Yeah, but what's the bad news, right? You're kind of thinking that the good news, bad news. And we live our lives basically on good news and bad news. Sometimes how our bank account is doing, our circumstances, our money kind of makes us feel good or bad, right? And that's natural. If you have money in the bank and things are going okay and you can save a little, you're like, feeling pretty good. I can wake up and breathe. But if you're struggling in debt, have some financial burden that comes up, you tend to feel beaten up a little about like that. And whatever it is, relationships, education, at your workplace, you will have trouble. But keep your eyes on the Lord and not on our circumstances. All right? Circumstances can lead you all over. But if we fix our eyes on the Lord, I don't know if any guys ever done any sailing or anything like that. I was a big sailor when I was up in New Jersey and that area. Sailed a lot on the Chesapeake Bay. And as a kid, you know, be out on a big boat and stuff. And I even taught sailing. And lots of times I'd tell kids, I was in a little Sunfish at camp teaching them how to sail. And I go, David, where do you want me to go? And I'm just head to that spot on the other side of the bay. Just head to that. You know, well, just head there. Just keep your eyes on that spot, whether it was a big house or a church or a power line or something. Just head to that. And on our lives, you know, as someone's sailing a boat, there may be weather, storm may throw you off a little bit, and this, that, and the other thing, you're concerned in those circumstances. But just keep your eyes fixed on that spot of land, and you'll get there. Keep our eyes fixed on God, and we'll get there. You know, when all the things are going on around us, just keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. The people were fearful because they fixed their eyes on not the Lord, but on the circumstances that are around them. So fix our eyes on the Lord, not on our circumstances. Can anyone remember what point five was? It was our last point that we talked about last week. Pray. Is that what somebody said? Did I hear that? Or am I just, okay. Pray, right. We talked about praying. All right, pray. Now people go, pray. Obviously, Bob, we're Christians and we pray about things. That's what Christians do. You know, I want to let you know that me as a Christian, somebody standing up here in front of you, I don't pray as much as I should. All right? What does the Bible say about praying? How much should we pray? Pray without like ceasing, right? Pray without ceasing. That's a lot of prayer, right? So I may pray a bit here and there, and I may pray more than some, less than others, and this and the other thing. But God wants us to pray. God wants us to pray. In the passage we looked at last week, it says, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. The people of Israel cried out to the Lord. And we talked about even how we could pray. We looked at last week, Psalm 23, and using that as a template to pray, to increase the depth and breadth of our prayer lives. We talked about using something like reading through Psalm 23 and stopping, like at the Lord is my shepherd. And we just thank God. God, thank you for guiding me and directing me and being the shepherd of my life. And say, God, forgive me for the times that I haven't let you shepherd my life. And we can pray for others along that same means. God, I know Bob, and he's not a Christian. And God, I pray that he would stop leading his own life, God, that he would see how his life, how him trying to lead his life has led this way. But I pray that you would be his shepherd. And we could go on and on and on. And we spent some time last week talking about that. And just going through, the Psalms are a part of Scripture. As we read through Scripture, anywhere in the Bible, when we stop and we look to see how God can allow us to apply it to our lives, and we pray that back to God throughout Scripture. So I don't encourage you, if you want to increase the depth and the breadth of your prayer life, pray through the Scriptures. Like, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, we talked about it last week, but he makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, what does green pastures mean? You know, fertile and lush and you know, it's not desert. God, help me to lie down in green pastures. Right now, my pastures aren't so green. Or God, thank you for giving me green pastures. And pray that out. So pray, 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 pray. It's important for us to pray. All right? So continuing on today, and again, we'll probably review every week to get us where we need to be. Continuing on with rule number six, listen to God. You know, one of the things when we pray, we tend to just ask God for things, you know, and that's okay. Part of praying is asking and praising God, but a lot of our prayer time should be listening to God, listening to God. Listening to God. C.S. Lewis, I went up to Orlando last Sunday, and I saw a play that was about C.S. Lewis' life, and it was C.S. Lewis, I think it was Onward and Upward, something like that, about his life between the time he got saved and up until the time he wrote, I think, the Screwtape Letters, something like that. A really wonderful play. This is what C.S. Lewis said. He says, God whispers in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. You know, when we're going through a difficult time, So many times we cry out like the disciples in the boat when it was going up and down in the storm and Jesus was asleep in the boat, and they go, God, we're going to drown. Jesus, we're going to drown. Help us, help us, help us. But when we go through a difficult time, it's okay to cry out to God and say, help us. But say, God, how are you speaking to me through this difficult time? How are you speaking to me? God, what do you want to do in my life? You know, sometimes we get caught up, and when things are going great, as believers, we kind of set God off to the side and go, we go to people, yeah, 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 I'm a Christian, yes, 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 Jesus, hallelujah, and we just kind of go on our way, you know, with everything, and we kind of hear God a little bit, kind of that whispering, but when we go through difficult times, God says to us, listen, I have something for you. And when we go through pain, we should be thankful to God for his hand, that he comes and he wants to guide us and to direct us and draw us closer to him in that time of pain. God wants to speak to us. How do we know something is God's voice? How do we know? I hear people say that all the time. You know, God, Bob, how do I know what God is saying? Is this me or God or somebody else? There's all different kinds of ways we can hear from God, but how do we know it's God? Now, a lot of you guys are younger here today, but back in the day, and I may have alluded to this last week, I'm not quite sure, but they used to have no caller ID. Back in the day. Is anyone that's old that you don't remember caller ID on phones? Okay, couple, all right. Okay, now it's easy. You know, I used to mess with people, and I would, you know, sometimes just disguise my voice and just pretend I'm somebody else on the phone. You know, I'd be like, hey, you know, I'd like to, and they'd be like, they go like, who is this? And I'm like, it's Bob, and they're like, oh, Bob, you know. And so, but if I said on the phone, hey, it's me, Sheila's going to go, yeah, I know it's you because I know what your voice sounds like, right? And if we get a call from somebody who we didn't know, of course, now we look at our phone and we see scam only, you know, or scam likely, right? Scam likely, we just go, I'm not going to hit that. But back in the day, you had to pick up the phone to see who it was, and then you could recognize their voice. I'm going to tell you, the way to know what God's voice sounds like is to hang out with God more and more and more. And people go, no, I don't want to know that. I want, give me something like the ABCs of hearing God's voice, knowing it's God. Bob, listen, this is my situation. How do I know it's God? I don't know. That's between you and God. I can give you my opinion as a brother in Christ, and you can take it for that, and maybe God will speak to you through my opinion on this thing. But for you to hear God's voice, that involves you spending time with God, not with Bob and getting my opinion. If I want to hear from God, I need to spend time with God. And there's many ways that we can hear from God. You know, God speaks through other people. God speaks through our circumstances. God speaks when we pray. It's important for all that. But I think one of the ways we overlook how God speaks to us is the basic way is through his word. God gives us his word, all right? God gives us his word in the passage that just about everybody knows is God speaking through his word is in Psalm. It says this, through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, it says in Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? Great illustration of a lamp and a light guiding us. We want guidance from the Lord? Start with his word. You know, that's reading. I don't have to read. Can you just give me the formula? You know, yes, God can kind of all kinds of ways. You know, God speaks to people who have never had his word. There's stories about people coming to the Lord, Muslims coming to the Lord where they have a vision God speaks to them in a vision that says basically, hey, go to a certain town and you're going to see a guy in a blue shirt and he's going to tell you the way and they get saved. Praise God. Those things happen. God speaks that way, but many times God speaks directly through his word. We would want that. Hey, just give me the vision, God. You know, while I'm sleeping, just make it easy. I'm sleeping. Just tell me what to do. That way I can get your guidance and get a nap in at the same time. No, lots of times God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And when we think we hear from God, it should always align with God's word. Husbands, God's not going to tell you to leave your wife for some other person. I don't know if you know that, because that doesn't align with God's word. Sometimes people will say crazy things like that. Well, I think God wants me to do that. Well, what does God's word say about it? Right? Sometimes the basic things is God's word, and to get guidance from God, and God speaks directly through his word. Many times it's the basics and connecting the small things rather than the big things. Now, I used to be in business years ago, and God spoke to me like to kind of begin that process of moving from business into ministry. It was pretty much an audible voice. All right? Just about an audible voice where God said in my head, Bob, you're going to stop doing this and you're going to start doing this. But it was bathed in a lot of things leading up to that. It was being open to God directing me. And after that, there was a lot of confirmation. There was confirmation directly from Scripture that aligned, as well as other people and what God was speaking to other people about us. But that aligning with Scripture, God used Scripture to direct us in that way. God speaks through his word, all right? But it's important for us to listen to God. So many times we fret, we're concerned, we have things going on, but we never just go, and listen. And that leads me to point seven, rule number seven. God speaks through his word, but also it's important for us to wait, to wait. We don't wait for anything. Today's world, man, I remember the day they came out with microwave ovens. And everyone's like, microwave oven. What do you want to use that for? Like, it's only good for like heating water. And that was like it. And then you got like a microwave oven and you're like, huh, wow. I can like make popcorn in microwave ovens. And I can start making stuff because you can take something from cold to hot almost instantaneously. You know, back in the day, if you wanted tea, you know, a quick cup of tea, you had to like, all right, get out a pan, pour water in it, boil the water, pour it into a cup, put a tea cup. Now you may just stick a cup in the microwave. A minute later, you got hot water. And that's how our life is. We want so many things, and you've heard this probably 100 times. We want things so much instantly. It has to happen instantly. But the Bible wants us to wait. To wait. As we seek God, as we pray, as we get into his word, it's important for us to wait, to take that deep breath and just relax and wait on the Lord to speak to us. Moses said to his people here, in again, continuing in Acts 14, verses 13 and 14, it says, and Moses said to the people, fear not. Again, that whole idea of not fearing, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent or still. You only have to be still. And allow God many times to fight the battle that we're going through. You know, I like to say, God can tell people things so much better than Bob can tell people things. You know, if you're having a struggle, difficulty at work, school, relationships, give it to God and say, God, you talk to this person. You work it out. Wait. But wait on the Lord. Do not move ahead until we hear from the Lord as to how to proceed with our lives. In Isaiah We've all heard this passage before, Isaiah chapter 40. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That whole idea of waiting on the Lord, being still on the Lord, and resting in Him. And many times when we go through a difficult time, that gives us a perfect opportunity to wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord and say, God, help me. God, you know what I'm going through. God, help me through this. And all this goes together about how do we hear God speaking and waiting. It all runs together and how we can listen to God and how we can pray and all this kind of stuff. And I want to give you just one word too. I remember I was going through maybe about 10 years ago, a really difficult time with some stuff that was going on. With some stuff in my family. Many of you guys know the situation because it was like 10 years ago. And anyway, it was amazing. I sought the Lord once, and I had many times, but one time I had the Bible in front of me, and for like 2 hours, God just took me to passage after passage after passage after passage about things that were happening that were directly in line with what we were going through. And some of this stuff, it wasn't all happy stuff. It was like reasons why things were happening. God was taking me to Scripture, and I look up this one. And it was just like going from Scripture to Scripture to Scripture. But you know what it took? It took for me to go through that difficult time, and it took for me to pray, and it took for me to wait on the Lord, to slow down, breathe, and wait on Him. The hardest things for us to do is wait. It has to be now. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. You need your strength renewed? Wait on the Lord. And number 8, last point for the day, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Exodus 14:13, the beginning of one of the passages that are read earlier, Moses said to the people, fear not. Fear not. Stand firm. And see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, fear can keep us in our own bondage. Fear not. That whole idea of worrying and fearing and fretting over things. Fear not. Because the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to God. And all these things come together, knowing that God is with us. He sees us. And it's about God getting glory. Helps us to be able to look at everything going on and saying, you know what? I can give this to the Lord, and I don't have to be fearful because it's what God is going to do. So it says in Exodus again, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which is going to work today. God, as a believer in Christ, God is with you. He is going to be your Savior from dying on the cross for your sins, but your Savior through everything that you go through. The disciples, when they called out to Jesus in the boat, Jesus, we're going to drown, and you're sleeping in the back of the boat. What did Jesus say to the storm? Like, peace, silence, be still, and everything was okay. And we can say that to God, knowing that God is in charge. And we can say, God, I come to you. All these things are happening. And God says, I got this. Don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. You know, some of the greatest, most courageous people in the Bible were fearful. Did you know that? You know, we think that courageous people weren't fearful. No, courageous people were fearful. You know, I always, you know, the number one guy I think that people talk about, you know, who's one of the most courageous people in the Bible? They say Joshua, right? Courageous guy. Joshua chapter 1. But if you read Joshua chapter 1, God was encouraging Joshua to be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, for you will cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. And it continues on in verse 9. Have I not commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened nor dismayed, for the Lord will God, your God will be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous. Do not be dismayed. Why was God telling Joshua not to be dismayed? Okay, so if someone's crying, little child is crying, and you walk up to the child and say, "Don't cry." Why do you tell them not to cry? Because they are crying, right? So God was telling Joshua not to be dismayed because Joshua was dismayed. Dismayed. Dismayed is like the word you use when you're just at your wit's end. You don't know where to go. You're going, "Ah!" That's where Joshua was. Yet we know Joshua was very courageous, right? Why? Joshua was courageous because courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is overcoming fear. So it's what Joshua did with his fear. You know, you as a believer in Christ, me as a believer in Christ, we'll go through difficult times where we'll be confronted with things that would cause us to be fearful. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. We will go through the valley of the shadow of death, but we can fear no evil. Why? Because God is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. And Joshua was, you know, he's strong and courageous, but God was encouraging him because Joshua was not strong and courageous. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you will come up to times in your life where it will be very difficult to be strong and courageous. But how can you be strong and courageous? Because God is with you. God is with us. He sees you. And whatever you go through, God is going to be part of that. And he's going to help you. He'll be with you, as it says in this passage, wherever you go. Amen. That God is with me wherever I go. The thought I finished with last week, we'll finish with today. Remember, for 2023, even though you will go through tribulation, you will go through trial. In John 16:33, at the end, it says, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." I have overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. We will have tribulation. We live in a fallen world. All right? The longer I live, the more, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're a little child, everything is great and wonderful. The longer you live, you get a little more critical. You get a little more, I don't know, just because of all the stuff that's in the world. But the Bible says, and Jesus said this, "I have overcome the world." Take heart. Take heart. The next 2 weeks, we'll continue talking about the things we can pull from the Red Sea as Moses and the people of Israel were led out of Egypt and eventually into the promised land. Things we can pull out of there. But if I can leave you with today, just running through the 7 rules once again, we'll go back to the beginning so far. There's about 16 rules, so you know we're about halfway there. And somebody asked me how many rules there were. I said, last week I had like 12, now I have 16. So the more time I spend on this, I get more rules. So we'll see. So number one, you will have trouble. Number two, God knows where you are. Number three, it's more about God's glory than your own relief. Number four, keep your eyes on the Lord and not on your circumstances. Fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, pray, 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 pray. You're driving down the road. You know, in my car, I've gotten the habit of praying while I drive. When I drive somewhere, it's dead silence in my car. My family gets in the car. When I drove up to Orlando last week, my wife and I were driving. She knows I don't have the radio on in the car, whatever, because I try to use that time for prayer. Does my mind wander all over? Do I wonder if the Patriots are going to win and this, that, and the other thing, which they lost? You know, yeah, a little bit, but I try to use that time to pray. Try to build habits that would keep you prayerful. We have so many things that can fill our minds every day. You know, the time that we spend on our phones just looking at various social apps and stuff, they take up our time and take our eyes off the Lord. If we just kind of, you know, I'm going to set aside some time, fix my eyes on the Lord and pray. Listen to God. Spend some time listening to God. The more we talk to God, the more we will understand what his voice sounds like. And it won't be so easy. It won't be so difficult to detect. It'll become easier and easier and easier to know God's voice as we spend time with him. Wait. Keep breathing. We're living in a busy world, but we have to learn to wait on the Lord. And number 8, do not fear. God is with you. By the way, at the end of the 4 weeks, I will give you all my notes. So I'll have them available. I'll post them for you. I'll give them to you in hard copy. I'll give you all the points with the scriptures. But I'm not going to give it to you yet, because if I gave it to you now with blanks, you'd be trying to fill in the blanks while I'm talking. So we're going to get to the end. So don't worry. I'll give you all that in a couple more weeks. But fear not. Fear not. God knows right where you are. God is with you wherever you go. Praise God. God has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you and praise you that we're not just left here alone. That we trust in you. Lord, where many in the world are hopeless and desperate because they believe there is no God, Lord, we thank you that there is a God. We thank you that you're the uncreated creator that created everything, but you love us so much and you're concerned with the intimate details of our lives. Lord, we thank you that, as the song said, you left the 99 sheep and have come and rescued us, Lord, and brought us back into relationship with you. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that we're like that lost coin that was found. We thank you, Lord, that you are so involved in our lives and you want us to be more intimate with you. Lord, we thank you that you use pain and tribulation to shout to us to get our attention. We thank you that you love us that much to use difficult times to draw us into a closer walk with you. Lord, we don't know what we're going to go through this week. We thank you for the blessings. But we know also there's going to be difficult times and struggles. So we thank you for them also, Lord, that they would draw us closer to you. Father, we thank you. We thank you that the only way we can have a relationship with you is through Jesus Christ. We thank you that it's not by our works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to your mercy and your love and your grace that you saved us. Lord, you saved me. You rescued me because I realize that I can't save myself. Lord, that I could never be good enough to impress you enough to save me. But I thank you that Jesus Christ came and rescued me. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that you love me so much that you rescued me. And I thank you that anybody here can call upon the name of the Lord and be rescued from their sins. We thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that we can come in your presence today. And again, help us not to go out of here the same way we came in, but help us to leave just changed a little bit. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.